Welcome back, everyone, to Racecast. And I think probably we are coming here after easily the most entertaining weekend of the whole season.
I loved it.
We've spoken very highly of this season. I think generally it's been a pretty good season. But this weekend was just the icing on the cake. It was perfect. I mean, I think even from the chaos of like quali being delayed to then having a whole Sunday of F1 and what felt like the longest race ever, with also a huge amount going on, and that's not even mentioned in the incidents in quali, it was a pretty impressive weekend. You can obviously see if you're watching any clips that we are both wearing black. That is because obviously we are mourning the loss of Lando Norris's title hopes. But
I like that.
Thanks. If you are watching on you won't necessarily be watching this. You'll be watching clips. So if you do want to watch clips, make sure you follow us at Racecast on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. If you search Racecast, you'll find the boys. Don't worry. And wherever you are listening to us, be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever else you consume your podcasts, do give us a 5-star rating because it makes a huge difference to us. And we're really grateful every time you do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you look on TikTok, we've had, I want to say thank you, we've had quite a bit of interaction over the last week, a couple of weeks, I think, and it's only continued to grow, so thank you very much for that. Instagram as well, more interaction. But yeah.
More hate. You know, with more interaction comes more hate.
I don't think it's as bad as you think.
Well, we actually got a comment that said, you look like the tired David Guetta.
I take that, though, because he's successful.
I thought that was a very good comment. It made me laugh when I saw it.
Well, you sent it straight to me.
Yep. I know, because it cracked me up.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. the interaction's been good, so thank you very much for that. So I have to say, and going back to what Luke said earlier, and we said last week, I love Brazil. I love the Grand Prix. I love the whole weekend. It always delivers.
It does always deliver.
And this weekend once again showed why it is the best race weekend on the calendar. I stand by that. I don't know what it is, the atmosphere, the uncertainty of the weather, the uncertainty of who can win, the fast pace, the overtakes. It's just great.
I think Brazil and Silverstone are like the two weekends
that
are generally guaranteed the best weekends of the year.
I agree. And yeah, I loved it. I love the fact we had Sunday, which was just basically the whole F1.
Do you know what? This got me thinking, right? Would you rather qualifying be every Sunday as well as the race after this weekend? Now, I know this is not going to change and F1 purists are going to be like, oh my God, that's so Drive to Survive of you. Shut up. Like, I'm talking about this weekend and that setup. That Sunday for me was sick. What would you... How would you feel if they were like, actually, we're going to put quali every Sunday?
I wouldn't be mad about it. I mean, Sunday for me was literally like 10 o'clock on a sofa. Okay, we had red flags galore. It extended to like, what, 12:30, almost 1 o'clock by the time the production had finished. We're back on air again at 2. That was me until, what, 6, 7?
And that's exactly why I loved it.
I'll be honest. You know, I was worried for my pressure sores, but other than that, I loved it. It was great. I didn't move.
Maybe something to think about. I don't know. Moving forward, I would not be opposed to it. I know, like, obviously, traditionally, we've always had the whole weekend, but Saturday's normally a busy day.
Yeah.
For me, there was something about having F1 all day Sunday that was just so nice. And maybe that was circumstantial because everything was so eventful. But I rated it.
I think it would be very dependent on the actual what race it is, because I don't think what we experienced on Sunday would be as good if it was at some of the other tracks, if that makes sense. Because qualifying would have been done relatively quick. You then have like a 4-hour gap in between, you come back again.
And maybe it works better when there's a sprint weekend as well. Maybe sprints, right, hear me out. Maybe sprint weekends, the format works better of And he could even squeeze in another practice session. Yeah. I know this might be like counterintuitive for like the longevity of the cars and the engines, etc. But I think you could have it. FP1, FP2 on Friday.
Yep.
Sprint quali, sprint race.
Yep.
On Saturday. Qualifying Sunday morning, race Sunday afternoon. I know that is a lot of work for the drivers. I'm thinking purely entertainment factor for us, the boys.
I wouldn't be mad. Girls. I wouldn't be mad with it. I wouldn't be mad with it.
Nah, and don't get us wrong. We know nothing's going to change. But it was just, I thought it was quite interesting seeing how that format works from this weekend.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, like, I loved Sunday. Mm. It was so good.
No, no, I completely agree with you on that. So, some news. Lando Norris is a bottle job. This is what I've seen a lot on social media.
Yeah, and from yourself included.
No, I haven't said that. I didn't say he's a bottle job.
You said Lando has fumbled the championship. Those were your words. Lando Norris has fumbled the world championship. I can put up the receipts.
No.
I feel like our TikTok page is becoming like a Lando hate watch.
It's not. It's most
not from me,
not.
Right? Wait. I was actually going to come out. I posted a video yesterday about the Lewis Hamilton versus George Russell car comparison, right? My other video idea was actually, should I do a video? And this ties into something that has occurred in my life as well recently, right? Where, for those of you that don't know, I have another podcast called Wafflin', right? We had a guy called Danny Aarons on. For whatever reason, before the episode even came out, people had no idea how he was going to come across in the episode. Pure hatred towards him, right? I don't know if you saw the comments on like our posts. Just pure hatred. And I like, it wound me up before because I was like, that's actually mad because like you haven't seen the episode and he's actually so fucking sound and it's such a good episode. I think like you don't know this person.
Yeah.
But like he's a real individual, right? He's a real human. If you met him in real life, you could touch him. Yeah. Lando Norris is exactly the same. And I feel like social media has created this space where people think they can say absolutely anything to anyone.
Yeah.
You know,
I didn't say anything about his personality. I just said about the F1.
And this is, it's one thing, creating a video about someone is like your own personal right.
Yeah.
Like you have the absolute right to do that. Going onto people's content and commenting hate.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Is sad as fuck, right? And I feel like people need to remember that Lando Norris is a human being.
100%.
That has, yes, he has just fumbled his title hopes.
Yeah.
But I don't think that warrants anyone coming out to hate him. Just, okay, maybe he says things that are a little bit silly in the media pen afterwards, presumably because he has just bottled a championship that I think he probably knows he's had every opportunity to win. But he spent his whole entire life working up until this point, and now it's kind of coming crumbling down in front of him.
Yeah, and when I started that off by saying Lando Norris is a bottle job, I was actually going into the sense...
You said you didn't call him a bottle job.
No, listen to what I was going to say. When I started off by saying Lando Norris is a bottle job, I was about to say this is what I've seen on social media by saying he's a bottle job, he's fumbled it.
I said he fumbled it. So unless you saw your own video.
I didn't call him a bottle job though.
You didn't.
But no, I agree.
Look, let's be real. Like Lando has bottled it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like we're allowed to criticize drivers, we're allowed to come out, but I'm saying that I'm seeing a lot of genuine hatred towards Lando, particularly after the comment that I imagine you're gonna bring up.
Yeah. Look, I know you think I hate Lando. I don't. What I struggle with...
He does.
No, not in the slightest. Not in the slightest.
Even the boys pick up on it.
Yeah, I don't know him. I don't hate him.
It might be, like, unconscious.
It's like I know, like I've discussed on this before, it's the arrogance that comes with it. That's the bit I struggle with.
Oh, so you like him?
No, he seems like a sound guy. he seems like a nice guy. But when talking about F1 specific... What you see, so for example,
you just said about his arrogance.
Yes, in the F1 with regards to his interviews and stuff. With regards to everything else I see from all the Quadrant stuff, he seems like a really nice guy. Take nothing away from that. But what I struggle with is the same as if you're talking about football or any other player. You know, people go, oh, Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi, all of this stuff. What I'm saying about Lando Norris is, we've discussed on this podcast many times, I never felt like he was going to win this championship. Mm-hmm. I've been openly open about that. I never felt like he was a true title contender in this. Mm-hmm. I still stand by that.
Well, I mean, I think that's a fair conclusion now.
Now, but I still stood by that throughout this season, okay? He had multiple opportunities to go on and win this title this year, and he didn't. And there's a lot of factors that come with that. Some people just can't deal with the pressure. Some people can't just step up to that next level. And that's fine. That's the same as, you know, everyone in their day-to-day life, okay? What I'm saying is actually, what I struggle with is coming out afterwards and going, oh yeah, no, it's a bit of luck here, you know, that's a bit of luck here, you know, oh yeah, there's no talent involved with that. He's been like that throughout the whole season. And
yeah, but correct me if I'm wrong, in this interview clip that has been, I think, tactically...
I think it's about the actual red flag.
It was about, it wasn't about Max's drive, it was, but which, there's been that was pure luck. I mean, look, we can't deny the red flag rule has been, I think for a lot of people, quite a frustrating thing. I mean, they've actually been a lot more relaxed on red flags, I feel like, recently. But you look at 2021, and I think like there's been a long period of time where red flags have been frustrating, this rule that you can kind of just hope for one, and you gain so much of an advantage just stopping the race and being able to change your tyres for free. And I think the frustration is maybe not even necessarily with the rule sometimes. It's more with the FIA putting out a safety car for X amount of time and then red flagging it. And I know we had more controversy this weekend in qualifying, but I feel like Lando's comment was broadly taken out of context. And then, and look, don't get me wrong, like we sit here, we're like to make content, right? We're going to comment.
But didn't Lando have luck in Miami to allow him to go on and win?
Yeah, 100%.
It's motor racing. It's you need luck to be able to go. You know.
But at no point did he say, "Oh, this is well out of order."
No, but
like he was just like, "Well,
there's no talent in that." That it's those little bits.
Okay, he should have worded it better because at this point he should be experienced enough in the media to know that people are then going to be like, oh, so you don't think Max is talented? Like,
because literally as soon as...
Which it was a poor choice of words.
I saw that clip going all over the place, okay? And that whole clip was... And the fact that no talent... And yes, okay, it gets taken out and it's very easy for it to be taken out of context and all of this stuff. And I'm pretty sure Lando on reflection would be like, well, that's not really what I meant. However, as soon as that goes out, that's what people look at, isn't it? People will look at the fact that he said Max Verstappen isn't, there's no talent in that win or whatever, it's just luck. Well, to everyone else out there, that looks like he's just bitter.
Completely. I get that. It did look like he was bitter. Yeah. But wouldn't you be? I'd be bitter.
100%.
I'd probably come out and say worse things.
Yeah. Well, look, I know I have no issue. I, you know, from Lando Norris's point of view, he seems like a sound guy. The issue is throughout this year and even leading up to this, and mate, we've discussed on this podcast many times, it took him to over 100 races to get his first win, okay? And there's a lot of arrogance that comes with Lando Norris. And I think sometimes you have to be when you're, you know, in any sport, but you've got to back it up. And difficulty is, you know, from us who are sitting here and everything, if he went on to win this world championship, fair play. Like, fair play, you've done it. You're, you know, world champion, great. You know, good on you. But he hasn't backed it up. And realistically...
But you still said if he won, he would be the least deserving F1 champion of all time.
Did I?
Yeah, you did. I think you know you did by that face.
Yeah, well, perhaps that is true. You know, need a lot of luck.
I'm not saying I disagree, necessarily. I'm just saying that is something you have said.
I'm just going to stop talking about Lando Norris now because everyone just thinks I just take. Everyone thinks that I hate him. I generally don't hate him.
I think the only thing that I'm grateful for is that I'll never forget when Lando said about Lewis that it's easy when you're in the fastest car. And I think now Lando Norris has learned that actually, it's not easy.
No.
Even if you are in the fastest car.
But this is what I go back to. Those type of comments
give
him that perception that actually he's arrogant. So, you know, he's disrespecting some of the greats, you know, realistically. And
No. And I completely get that. Like, I just think it's funny. Like, I think you're in this denial that like, you think, no, I do like him, I swear. It's just like, you don't. Which is fine. But, you know.
I think it's very, this is where people take things.
I don't like Perez.
Okay. But there's a difference. I like it. I don't necessarily like him from an F1 point of view, but from an actually outside point of view, seeing me on like YouTube videos, in Quadrant, all that type of stuff, he seems like a sound guy. But from an F1 point of view and what I see with regards to his interviews and arrogance, yeah, okay, maybe I don't like him as much as other drivers. But it doesn't mean I hate him. It just means I don't necessarily like him. I'm pretty sure you don't hate Perez.
But, well, I just feel like if he's got a seat, why haven't I got a seat? So,
look.
Yeah, I mean, it does wind me up a little bit. Can I just say, actually, just on this Perez thing?
Yeah.
Because this is not something that I saw until, like, after we had filmed the last podcast. Did you see the... Oh, maybe it was on the Thursday at Brazil. I can't remember. It was either after Mexico.
Yeah.
Or it was before Brazil. Where he was saying, he was basically being quizzed on his career, future. And the interviewer was like, oh, will you be here next year? Like, Helmut Marko said this, blah, blah, Christian Horner said this. Then he was like, nope, I'll be here. I'll definitely be here next year. With, like, absolute chest. And I was just thinking, like, holy shit. Right, there are three scenarios here.
Yeah.
Right? One is that he's genuinely just outright Stevie Wonder blind delusional, right? And he's got no real perspective of the world.
Yeah.
Number two, he's just stupid, right? Number three, he genuinely is staying because he knows he's got something on these boys. They're the only three scenarios, because...
Which one out of the three would you most likely believe?
Genuinely, at this point, that he's got something on the team.
Yeah.
I fucking stand by that. There's no... Oh, my God. There's no way that he has stayed in this seat for this long without something. And I know we posted a video last week about this, and everyone's like, well, yeah, sponsorship money, sponsorship. Yeah. Red Bull are one of the biggest brands in the absolute world. Don't get me wrong, sponsorship money is vital for this, so they're not just pissing money up the wall. Completely get that. I don't think Red Bull are a team that need to be as concerned as sponsorship as a team like Williams, right? That's why we saw Logan Sargeant hold onto his seat for so long, because he was bringing in huge sponsorship money, right? We've seen in the past Red Bull buy to drivers that just aren't cutting it.
Yep.
Sergio Perez has cost them the Constructors' Championship this year, right? And not even, he hasn't just cost them P1, he's cost them P2.
Yep.
Red Bull have led, I believe, 504 laps this season. Yeah, Max Verstappen has been 503 of those. He's got something on that team. I stand by it. I'm going to come here every single week until someone exposes the truth, because I'm simply not standing for it. It's just, I don't get it. His race this weekend was awful. He had spun out on the first lap. I mean, I literally have no idea what to say. And you might be like, oh, well, Max was out in Q2 as well. Yeah, because he got done by the red flag.
Yeah, but that spin from Sergio Perez wasn't his fault.
Anyway, that's enough on Perez this week. But that was something I just wanted to bring up, because I saw this interview and I just thought, Jesus, that is incredible.
And people think I hate Lando Norris. Luke has much more hatred towards Sergio Perez.
It's, but again, it's not necessarily a personal hatred. It's one of just like, it's more pure confusion. I'm genuinely, at this point, completely lost as to how he still has that seat.
Like, no, I mean, we've discussed many times, I don't understand it. And I
hate when he comes out and does these interviews and he's like, yeah, I'll be here next season. I see, how can you say that with that much confidence? It's like, I've never seen anything like it before.
No, he's really confident. I know which interview you're talking about. So, no, but even, you know, it was interesting, wasn't it, in qualifying when it got knocked out in Q2, there he is really shouting, moaning, really angry at the fact that, you know, the team made poor choices in getting him out. And then I'm thinking to myself, you know, mate, you got nothing to say here. You know, you've basically been out in Q1, Q2 the whole season. So this is actually quite a good result for you.
This is my thing, like, Sergio Perez's performances have not been like an accumulation of bad luck.
No.
They've been genuine, just shockers.
Would you say he has talent?
Oh, look, right. No. So don't get me confused. Sergio Perez, I think, has been a very, very good F1 driver. He's had a long career in Formula One, right? And I'm not saying Perez is an absolute shit driver. I don't know how he's ever got on the grid. Sergio Perez has had what I would consider a very good Formula One career.
Yeah.
Okay. My point is that he's now at a stage in his career. Look, we spoke about Sergio Perez in 2021. He was exactly what we wanted Bottas to be.
Yeah.
Right? He was unbelievable. Played the role as number two, but he did it perfectly. You know, a number two should be causing your number one driver's rival issues, should be making it difficult for them to get past. They should be collecting points along the way. And I know Bottas finished ahead of him in the championship, but that is besides the point. It was more about how Perez really pushed pushed Lewis at certain tracks. Like, think back to Turkey, think back to Abu Dhabi. Like, he rarely made it easy for him. But we have to now look at this at a point of, well, Sergio Perez is what, 13, 14 years into his career in F1, something like that. And he really is just not cutting it. He's completely dragged Red Bull down, right? This season has been unacceptable.
Yeah.
I stand by the fact that last season was unacceptable. Whether you agree with me or not, because he came P2 in the championship, he's very close to actually being beaten by Lewis Hamilton. And I just think, I don't like seeing it. You know, you see drivers like Yuki Tsunoda being stuck in this RB seat.
Yeah.
Liam Lawson now, I guess, provisionally stuck in this RB seat. Colapinto hasn't got a seat, likely going to be out of the sport. And I just think, oh, it's such a waste.
Yeah.
You know, there's someone here that has clearly run his course. And fair enough, maybe one of the lower teams would have him.
Mm.
I'm not necessarily saying his career is done. I mean, I personally wouldn't take him if I was a James Vowles or an Aya Komatsu. But someone might.
Yeah.
But come on, there are people that are so much better. And no. I don't think that's like a subjective opinion. I think that's fairly objective.
No, I agree. Do get in touch. Let us know what your thoughts are on that. So should we touch into the race? Because there's a lot to
unpack this weekend.
Go through. Firstly, we haven't spoken about it in a while, but F1 Fantasy, mate.
Holy shit, I haven't looked.
Yeah,
at that
I just quickly touch on this. I've dropped down to P15. You were in P24, mate.
Wow, really?
You've had a shocker.
Well,
let's just say I know you haven't been on it. You haven't changed anything.
I mean, to say I've had a shocker would insinuate that I've actually attempted to.
Well, at one point you were P7.
Yeah, at one point I was actually participating every week. This is the thing with Fanto, right? It's exactly why I don't do FPL.
Yeah,
because I care. I get involved for about 2 weeks, and I just think I don't care. You know what we should do next season? Anyone listening, or if this goes out as a clip, let us know. What if we did one where we all put a tenner in? Now imagine, right, we get 90 people. The winner, say, gets 500 quid.
Yeah.
Second place gets 300 quid. And then third place gets 100. Now I'm motivated.
But then you and I have a separate bet of a proper good forfeit for the loser.
Yeah, well, also, can I just say, we are looking to go karting at the end of the month.
Yeah.
The reason I asked if you had a GoPro is because I think we should film it to do a little video.
You can hire the GoPros. You can hire GoPros there.
I'll probably just ask the Weller if they've got one, to be honest, rather than paying some...
That's literally a fiver, then they send you the footage after.
It's a fiver?
Something like that, 5-10 quid, yeah.
Oh, well, now it's just doubled, so I get there, all of a sudden it's doubled again, now it's 20 quid.
No, it's like 40 quid.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's not.
So we are going to film that to finally put to bed this debate of who is quicker around a karting track.
Oh, you want to make a video of it?
Yeah.
All right.
Why wouldn't we? I'm not saying like a YouTube video. I think like a TikTok, Instagram reel.
Mate, I'm confident I'm going to beat you.
I mean, great. I mean, you used to say that when we hopped on the game.
Okay, that's a bit different.
And you drove like Miss Daisy.
Yeah, I was awful. But I've beaten you in go-karting before.
Yeah, but I've beaten you before.
Yeah, but I had an injury.
A brain injury. But, yeah, the F1 thing, F1 Fanto, I don't know, guys, if anyone would like to participate in a paid league. I'm not, we're not going to take a cut of anything. Like, it would just be a genuine, everyone puts money in. I don't know how we do it. Maybe there's an app that we can use. If anyone knows, let me know. And then maybe we can keep everyone a little bit more engaged. Maybe it's just me that has these engagement issues, but...
You told Reeve.
No. But yeah, that's my thoughts on how I will participate. But yeah, apparently I am doing...
You're not doing great.
Well, yeah, it doesn't look like I'm doing great, to be honest. No. But I don't know why. I got a pretty decent team, haven't I?
Yeah.
Who's in my Martin's Mega Movers? it doesn't help that I've got Alex Albon.
Yep.
Also doesn't help that my two constructors are, I don't know why I've done this, Mercedes and Aston Martin. Yuki Tsunoda, he must be doing all right.
You got Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, that's not been going well, really.
Who have you got? Hulkenberg?
Hulkenberg.
Well, he basically got disqualified this weekend, so.
Yeah. Yeah, not a great weekend, really, for the boys.
I love it. When you see Luke thinking or looking over something, it's just the realisation, actually, this is a bad team.
But Lewis has been generally quite consistent across the season.
Yeah, up until Spa.
He's got 404 points.
Yeah.
You know, Lando Norris has 606.
Yeah.
I haven't had Lando the whole time. Hulk. Oh, he got minus 42 points this week.
He had a shocker. Right, let's get into the race. Let's get into qualifying. So qualifying on Friday. I was really
sprint quali.
I was really perplexed about this, really, because Lando Q1, Q2 was setting these flying laps. Like, they started on the mediums. And if you don't know, in sprint qualifying, you have to start on mediums for Q1 and Q2. Then for Q3, you go on to softs.
I didn't realise you have to.
Yeah.
Oh.
All teams have to.
I thought that was genuinely just to preserve the tyres.
No, it's part of sprint qualifiers.
So you learn something new every day here.
But Lando was flying. Lando was he was about 6 tenths, 7 tenths quicker from any other car.
Yeah, he was.
Comes to Q3 on the softs, Lando puts out a cracking lap. I'm thinking, oh, there's no one going to beat him. No one's going to come close. And out of nowhere, Oscar Piastri does this flyer and puts it on pole. And, you know, it's... And I know we're going back to Lando and everything here, but for Lando to continue, and I'm sure after this season he will get better and better, but these are the type of things that make such a difference to...
I think this is probably harsh to put this on Lando. I mean, that was a great lap from Oscar, and Lando's lap was great as well.
Yeah.
I think Oscar just pipped him, and sometimes you do get that where out of nowhere. I mean, we even used to see that sometimes Bottas would pull an absolute worldie out of the bag and, you know, drop Lewis Hamilton to second. So I think these are things that we see. I don't.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not saying. Look, I'm not saying.
Well, you did.
Oh God, here we go. I'm not going to say Lando Norris's name.
This is something Lando needs to like fix or something. When you're about to say that.
Okay. Would Max Verstappen drop these type of positions in poles and stuff like that?
No, but you're saying it's like Lando's. I don't know what more Lando could have done there, because he put a blinder. It's not like he got to Q3 and he dropped a stinker.
No.
He got to Q3, dropped a blinding lap.
Yeah.
But then Piastri just came and set an even better one.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
All right, for the remainder of this podcast, I'm not going to say Lando Norris's name. Because no matter what I say about him, it's like, oh, you're picking on him. No, I'm not picking on him. I'm just having an opinion.
I didn't say you're picking on him.
Right, let's get into the sprint race. Good start from Oscar. You know, unlucky from Lando. He could have got him there from P2, but good start from Oscar. Was that right to say that? Or was that harsh for Lando?
Do you know, I actually didn't watch the sprint race.
Didn't you?
I'll be honest. I was playing football, so I didn't get to watch it.
Let's just say Oscar Piastri showed Lando Norris how to start a race. And that's not even, you know, again, picking on Lando.
No, I mean, that we can say, look, Lando, for whatever reason, is completely incapable of getting a good launch when he's on pole position.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I'm sure at this point he doesn't understand it, but we'll touch on that when we get to the race.
Yeah. I posted a video about this saying about, you know, saw a lot of things on social media saying Lando would have overtaken Piastri. You know, Piastri, you know, just wasn't quick enough. That's not the case. Lando Norris was being helped with things like DRS from Oscar Piastri. Oscar Piastri was holding back to help him so he could keep DRS away from Charles Leclerc, Max Verstappen. Oscar Piastri was never going to lose that race.
What makes you think he was holding back?
Because there was team radios going, Can you drop back to give Lando DRS?
Okay, got you.
I mean, and if you're on social media going, yeah, Lando would have overtaken him. When your team orders telling you to drop back so you can give him DRS, that would instigate to me that Oscar had quite a bit of pace in that car. My opinion.
Yeah, and like I said, I wasn't available to watch this race. I've obviously watched the highlights.
Yeah.
And then the team orders came.
Yeah. It was always going to happen. I get it. You know, Oscar's not in a title challenge. Lando was always going to win that.
But after that race, as in after the Sunday, man, Oscar must have been pissed.
Yeah. You know, and I think it's going to be quite... It'd be interesting to see now for the remainder of the season where Lando and Oscar are, because Oscar Piastri, they're fighting for the constructors. So realistically, as long as Oscar finishes ahead of Lando, it doesn't matter. I can't see Oscar going, okay, well, I'll try and be a team player here, but I need to prove to you that I'm a number one driver as well. Like, so I can't see Oscar doing in Lando any more favours this year.
Oh,
the
no,
title's
but,
gone.
But I don't think it's necessary. I think at this point, the team won't ask him to either.
But so, you know, Oscar... On Saturday, played the perfect teammate, did exactly what he needed to do. And
can I just say, I do think at this point it is fair.
Yeah.
Like, I think it would have been, and people might disagree with me here, but I think it would have been outrageous for Oscar to not give that position to Lando. Because Lando, look, we had seen sprint qualifying, right? We knew that the McLaren looked really quick, right? Yeah. What we also knew is that Max Verstappen was having to take a penalty in the race. This weekend was an unbelievable opportunity for Lando to really pile pressure on to Max for the last three races. Now, obviously, hindsight, we know that didn't play out. But at that point in time, it did make perfect sense to maximise Lando's points.
Yeah.
Whether that frustrates you or not, unfortunately, Oscar is not in a position where he can win the title. Neither is Lando anymore, but at the time, he was, and it was the right thing to do.
I completely agree with it. I knew it was going to happen. We all knew it was going to happen. One thing I do have an issue with was the stewards this weekend and their decision-making. And Hülkenberg had gone off. He had an engine issue. He pulled over. There was yellow flags. They haven't put out a virtual safety car. They haven't put out anything at the moment. There was yellow flags and everything from that point of view. There was such a delay. Hülkenberg had even got out the car and then the virtual safety car was given. The only thing I have an issue with is there was 2-3 laps left. That what it feels like, and it's potentially very different, and this is again my only opinion, was they allowed Lando was like, Hülkenberg was out of the car. They had gone past. Oh, Lando overtake Piastri, did that, and as soon as that happened, the virtual safety car came out. That's the only bit I have an issue with. Not because it was.
So you think they were helping McLaren?
No, I don't think they're necessarily helping. But I there was very slow in their decision making, and we'll get onto the red flag later on as well.
Yeah, there was some very delayed decision making.
And I'm not saying that would have necessarily changed because the virtual safety car would have come in and they would have, you know, changed positions or anything. But it would have made it a bit more exciting. If the FIA were making their decisions quick enough, then actually, okay, you're in a position where actually Oscar can't give that place to Lando. How is this going to work? They're going to be potentially closer together. How is this going to work? When can they do that swap? It would have made it more interesting. Not necessarily, I'm not saying that they were helping McLaren, but what I'm saying is, don't pull that face. What I'm saying is, it would have made it a bit more exciting from a viewer point of view, going, oh, actually, they can't make that team order now because the virtual safety car's out. Will they have enough time to do that? That would have been more exciting from a viewer point of view.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, no, I'm not saying I agree with the FIA's delayed decision, right? Mm. But what I am saying is, the FIA shouldn't consider how the viewers are going to perceive something. It's exactly why we had the shit show in Abu Dhabi 21.
No, I'm not. But no, they should do it quick. They should actually make those decisions quick.
Yeah.
When you got a driver out of the car on the side of the road, and you're still not putting out a safety car or a virtual safety car, you were slow in making decisions.
But they were yellow flags.
Yeah. Okay. But you know.
Okay, so all I think here is that sometimes I do feel like it's hard for the FIA to win. I feel like sometimes it's like they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. We've cooked them a lot of times for bringing out safeties too quickly.
Yeah.
Red flagging races too quickly. Bringing out VSCs too quickly, whatever. Now, I don't necessarily think the issue is, oh, well, they should have safety card it sooner. I think the issue is that either just yellow flag it or just safety car it. So like, yeah, bring out the safety car, but don't. Why is there that huge period of indecision? You know, I think, and that was the problem with a lot of this, is the red flag issue. Well, why bring out the safety car for so long and then red flag it? Yeah. Like, what's changed in that period of time? I don't understand why a lot of these decisions. Normally, I feel like you can tell when you need a red flag. If we see a crash, I think most people look at that and think, yeah, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
But they bring out the safety car for a long, long time. And it's like, okay, well, we must just be operating under safety car. Let's come in pit. Actually, we're going to red flag it now. Right. So now like 50% of the grid have just had their race ruined.
Yeah. Well, we saw that in 2021, didn't we?
Yeah, and I think that's where the issue is. It's like, what, like, just pick one way to solve this issue. Yeah. Is that a VSC? Right, bring it out quick. Is that a red flag? Fucking red flag it now, then.
But that's what I mean, and I'm not saying the FIA are going to be going, oh, let's look at what viewers would like. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, actually, if you're consistent in your actual rules, you look at, for example, we'll touch on the red flags in a second, but when Alonso crashed, that red flag was out straight away.
Yeah,
when Stroll crashed, it was about 40-50 seconds before they brought out a red flag. you know, I understand you can say with Stroll that he was trying to get going and stuff, and that's what it looked like. His rear end was completely gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the decision making that is the frustrating part. And I'm not saying under no circumstance that they were trying to help McLaren. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is actually it would have made it more, if rules were applied efficiently, it would have made the race more interesting.
It's definitely the efficiency of
So, please do not take it as I'm saying, oh, the FIA were helping McLaren. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is actually, stop smirking. What I'm saying is actually, it's just the delays in their decision. Do you remember in Monza, was it last year, when there was a bloody tractor on the track under virtual safety car?
Oh, yeah, that...
Was that last year or the year before?
I think that was the year before, yeah, 22.
And you're like, there's a massive tractor. You look at Japan, was it Japan where...
Yeah, that was 22.
Who almost went into...
Was it Gasly or Gasly? Sainz? One of them.
And, you know...
I think it was Sainz that caused the...
I just feel like we're... Yeah, Sainz caused the crash, but I think it was Gasly who he was in the...
Yeah.
He almost went in. What worries me is that we're just still delayed in these decisions. And I fully appreciate it. It must be a tough job making those. And you're relying on the steward, the marshals to give you the information. But these guys have got multiple cameras. Okay, I'm assuming... And this is an assumption. They have in front of them CCTV cameras from the whole grid that they can see wherever.
CCTV.
Well, that's what they said on the TV this weekend.
But yeah, no, I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of race control. Yeah. I actually only saw this because Joe went to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Like this week, and he went to the track, and he got taken into like where race control is.
Yeah.
And he sent a picture of like all the camera angles that they've got on screen, and yeah, like it's an incredible amount.
Yeah. So this is why it makes... I can understand if it was like back in the day and you had to rely on someone to literally run out there and come back and give you the information. But these guys have everything in front of them. Okay. So if you're looking at that camera, and I'm just going to use this Hülkenberg one as an example. You're looking at that camera. You can see that that car is completely stopped. Double yellows are out, fine. But you know as well as I do, having double yellows, people... They go a bit faster, they may lose control, whatever. You've got a driver out the car. Why are you still delaying it?
Yeah, but Holt could have just jumped over the car if it came to him.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know.
I do get your point. It's just a bit... Like I say, it's just that efficiency. I just feel like they're still so inefficient.
Mm.
And it's like we're in an era where it's so easy to be so efficient.
It does worry me that one day there's going to be something serious that happens simply because there is that delay. That whole delay in Stroll, red flag coming out this weekend. Do you know what worried me about that? Not necessarily. I know people, Red Bull think that, oh, they were trying to help McLaren, all that stuff. I think that's completely rubbish. What worries me is that it felt like they were just trying to allow... people to finish their laps.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I felt.
And if they're going down there at that speed, all it takes is another car to lose control in the wet, and they're in the back of Stroll there.
But that's why, in theory, you're meant to slow down in the yellow flag sectors.
But then it's even more difficult in the wet because visibility, you know, if you've got spray, whatever, you may not see... They showed a lot this weekend of, like, camera angles of where you are sitting in the cockpit. You don't always see so far what's in advance.
There were some periods, particularly in the race, where you could not see anything. Yeah. I saw an onboard of Ollie Bearman, and he genuinely drives off track.
Yeah,
and it's just because you cannot see the track.
So, you know, it's for me, it's that type of stuff. You know, you're kind of allowing people just to try and finish their laps. Well, actually, why? You've got a car that's stopped, he's crashed, red flag it. It's already wet conditions. You know the conditions aren't great as well for visibility. Why are you putting people at risk from that point of view? I don't know. It's a thing which we discuss a lot on the podcast, and let us know what your thoughts are. You know, we've spoken about the FIA. Let's talk about qualifying. There's a lot of red flags.
Yeah.
A little quiz for you. Can you name all the drivers? So there's five red flags in qualifying. Can you tell me what drivers they were?
Franco Colapinto.
Yeah.
Alex Albon.
Yeah. We've literally discussed two of them.
Yeah, Fernando Alonso, yep. Lance Stroll.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of the other one.
Mm.
Okay, right. Don't say anything. Oh, Carlos Sainz.
Carlos Sainz. Yeah. It was a mad qualifying.
It was.
And I loved it.
It's the thing. Like, it's actually hard to remember everything that happened this weekend because there was so much. I haven't got notes here. You know, I'm freestyling. I'm going off the dome.
Yeah.
There was so much in every single session this week that it's just like,
yeah,
how can you remember everything? But yeah, it felt like the longest qualifying ever.
Yeah.
Wasn't opposed to that. It was good.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, Red Bull both out in Q2. They had a bit of a shocker, but due to the red flag, again, it comes down to a bit of luck, doesn't it? You know, before that point, Lando or McLaren might have happened to them. Mm-hmm. They may have been in the same position, where they've been out in Q2. You don't know, do you? What obviously made it more difficult was Max Verstappen had a 5-place grid penalty.
Yep.
So he ended up starting P17.
Yeah, even though other cars had moved in front of him, he still had to start P17.
That's what it really confused me. That's why I put in the group chat. I was like, why can't they move? But anyway, I understood afterwards.
Because it's from his qualifying position, isn't it?
But Lando on pole, George Russell P2. I know we speak about wet weather, and you know, should we be allowed to drive in wet rain? Wet weather.
That's the worst kind.
Yeah, wet. But do you think we should just get rid of wet tyres?
Yeah, 100%.
Because
they don't use them. They don't use them.
I know they used them this weekend for a bit, but
barely. And like people, it's weird because I see such a contrast online.
Yeah.
Some people who are like, oh my God, think about the safety of the drivers and stuff. Maybe it's just me. I really don't think like that to that extent when it comes to wet weather driving. I feel like, well, right, safety is paramount, right? Don't get me confused here. When we have stuff like, and this is where I talk about the efficiency of the FIA. If you've got a car in wet weather that goes off track, just react instantly. Get a safety car out there. Pull up a red flag. I'm not opposed to that. What I am opposed to is not letting them go out there. When, like, even Lewis Hamilton said, I don't know if you saw when he pulled up to Stefano Domenicali in an interview, and he was like, "What? Why aren't we out there? We should be out there. Get some better wet weather tyres.
Put them in blankets."
Yeah. And yeah, this is something we've seen drives in these conditions for years and years and years. It's only within this short period of history that we've actually just stopped driving in wet weather.
And it's weird, isn't it? Because F1 is probably the most safest it's ever been.
Yeah.
But for some reason, we're taking all risks out of everything now. So, you know, we're in a position where, you know, look back in days. Do you remember watching those days of the Belgium Grand Prix when Schumacher's gone into the back of David Coulthard? You know, cars are going off all over the place. And granted, you could say, well, they shouldn't have raced. But this is the pinnacle. F1 is a pinnacle of motorsport.
Yeah.
And what it looks like at the moment is we're going, no, we can't race. But yeah. Actually, these are the best drivers. You've got people, all of these drivers, and if you look at the
Ocon and show.
If you got Ocon, if you see the Ocon and Gasly interview after, they're talking about, oh, when they were go-karting in the wet and all this stuff. These drivers have been racing in wet since a young age. Motorsport isn't just about, oh, you can only go in dry. It's a whole lot. This is why you have such an exciting outcome. This is why you have Tsunoda on P3, because of these different weather conditions, which allows drivers to have the opportunity to get into places like they can get on the podium. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for these weather conditions, Ocon, Gasly would not be on the podium. But we've got to allow these weather conditions for drivers to go out in them, because it gives you this exciting element of it. But on the other hand, it's got to be safe. And I understand that. But I think sometimes we're just so risk averse that actually it's like, oh, it's a bit wet. No, we're just stop.
Yeah. And I think often, like, if you think back to some of the best races you've ever watched, I bet there's been a lot of wet weather involved.
Yeah.
So, look, it's not a case of, oh, we'll put the drivers in harm's way. Like, that's absolutely not what we're saying. But what we're saying is, why are we moving away from being able to go out in these conditions when the sport is the safest it's ever been? The cars are the safest they've ever been. I just think I feel like there's a good amount of drivers that actually want to get out there and race in these conditions anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know there comes a point where it's like, yeah, they can't go out in that. That's taking the piss. And I completely get that.
So the qualifying, which they cancelled on Saturday, I get why they cancelled. That was just too much.
Yeah.
But there's some parts where actually, you know, we've seen throughout over the years, things like in Monaco, you know, they just waited until it's basically dry. Was it last year or year before? Yeah. Until they went out racing. I just think there's elements of where, okay, you can definitely not go out. There's too much. Mm-hmm. There's standing water. But there's been some wet weather races where actually I've gone, okay, why aren't we going out? Yeah,
get out there.
Yeah. But I don't know. And I think this potentially comes down to the tyres and how Pirelli are setting these tyres up. Maybe the wet weather tyres aren't as good as maybe they were in the past. I don't know. We don't know about all of that stuff. But anyway, let's get on to something that was quite nice this weekend. Lewis Hamilton was treated to a rare and special opportunity ahead of the Grand Prix as he climbed behind the wheel of the 1990 McLaren MP4 5B of his racing idol Ayrton Senna. That was nice to watch.
Yeah, did you watch the stream?
I didn't watch the stream. I've seen clips after, yeah.
It was sick. I watched it. It was class. And it looked like twice the car the W15 is, so it was quite nice seeing him drive a quick car again.
Did you see that tweet I sent you after of going, you just racing that and then the mechanics are trying to get you into the W15? Oh, it's like, and he's just fighting in front. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and it was sick. And I mean, like, what a moment for him to be able to drive that car, which, by the way, can we all just appreciate how good it sounded?
Yeah. No, it was class.
Bring them back. Get us proper engines, please.
It was class. Let's talk about the race. I have to say a massive shout out to the Aston Martin crew this weekend, because I can imagine it was quite a difficult one.
Mate, I would have been waiting around the corner for Stroll. You don't believe him in, the boys, we're doing him in. That is unacceptable. Now, if you don't know what we're talking about, pretty sure they spent the whole afternoon working way beyond the human threshold. They worked harder than the people that built the pyramids to get that car fixed. Because not only did they have to get his car fixed, they had to get Fernando Alonso's car fixed. Come to the formation lap. Lance Stroll snatches his brakes. Goes off. Pretty standard incident. Can kind of understand why it happened. I feel like he's probably the only driver on the grid that it would happen to, though. Anyway, it's very recoverable. Until he obviously decides to just drive into the gravel on purpose. Like, it genuinely seemed like he just could not be asked to be there. I don't know. Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the scene from The Inbetweeners where they go camping and Jay and Neil are holding Simon's car. And then Jay's just like, it's going to go in the river. Like, it's just nature, isn't it, mate? He's like, yeah, my arms are getting tired. And then they just let go of it. It was just like that. It was kind of just like, he was just like, yeah, kind of want an early shower anyway.
But according to Lance Stroll, it felt like brake failure.
It felt like brake failure that he pressed his accelerator, turned his steering wheel, and drove into the gravel.
Yep.
That is unacceptable.
Okay, answer me this then. Lance Stroll, from what we've seen over the last couple of years, what we've seen this weekend, if you're Drugovich, you've got to be...
I'm part of the group that's waiting around the corner for him.
You've got to be thinking, like, how am I not being given an opportunity here? Like, I've seen my friends, the likes of Colapinto, Behrman, all of this lot get seats, and I'm sitting here going, what more do I have to do to get into this Aston Martin seat?
Get a new dad?
And
Lawrence Stroll?
No, I appreciate that Stroll is the son of Lawrence Stroll, but surely from a sponsorship point of view, from a... a team's point of view, you're thinking to yourself, come on, we've got to make change here.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's really no excuse for what he did. It was bizarre. That's like, I can't wrap my head around it. Because there was a number of different ways out of that situation. Particularly with how wet it was. He could have just fucking pirouetted. Turned around and got back onto the track. But it's like he voluntarily looked at the gravel and was just like, I'm going to do it. I was like, mate, don't do that. That was the weirdest thing, but it was quite an entertaining start to the race.
So let's talk about the aborted lap. Lando Norris, they line up. And realistically, an aborted lap is basically you stay on the grid until you're told to move otherwise. Came up on the screen, aborted lap. Lando Norris decided just to...
Aborted start, sorry.
Lando Norris decided to just go off.
Yeah.
Have you heard his punishment?
Okay, just... I'm not accusing you of bullying Lando here, but I did a tweet at the time that this occurred.
Yeah.
And I said, essentially, it was along the lines of, it's not really fair that it's just Lando being investigated, is it? You know... Charles Leclerc came over the radio and said something along the lines of, he shouldn't do that. Yeah. Like, we should be on the grid. Well, you fucking drove off too, mate. Everyone. If you're going to investigate Lando, you investigate everyone that drove off.
Yeah, yeah. So Lando receives a 5,000 fine for the aborted start.
Yeah.
I mean,
come on, look.
At the end of the day, it's
a minor infringement.
And they're abnormal scenarios. I mean, I can't remember the last time I've seen something like that.
Yeah. I really don't think it's that deep. I would have hated to have seen that race or the race results be affected by that.
Yeah.
Because it would have just... It was so insignificant.
Yeah, no, I agree. Do you want to talk about the start? Do you want to talk about
Lando's start?
Because anything I'd say, I don't want it to be misconstrued.
Look, I mean, Lando is... He's got something wrong with him when it comes to starting a race from pole position. I thought it had all changed after Singapore. I was wrong. I just don't get it. I don't get it. The thing is, it must be at a point where it's absolutely eating him alive now. I don't know how he'd think about anything else when he's on that grid. If I was him now, sitting on that grid, P1, right? Lights, boop, boop. Lights go out. I'd be thinking, where am I going to end up here? P5, P6? At no point am I thinking, right, I'm going to hold this. No, my confidence gone. And I feel like, It always looks like second phase from that McLaren, right? It's always like, oh, he's got a good look. Oh, wait, why is he bogged down? I don't know why.
Yeah.
I feel like that doesn't happen when he starts even P2. It's like he might as well just start P2. Don't even try and get pole in quali. because he's cursed.
No, I agree. But good start from George Russell. Decent start from Russell.
Yeah, great, great.
He looked good. That pace this weekend in that Mercedes, well, for Russell, was there.
Well, there were talks that they were running a different chassis or different specs.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're running different setups. We know that. But yeah, I'm not sure what.
As we discussed earlier, Sergio Perez spins on lap one. I mean, nothing touched him, but nope. Just wanted to go for a spin. Fair play. And then the rain started to come. Obviously, they've been on the inters for a while. Then Lando and George. This is where I think McLaren will learn a lot from this year, especially the strategy team. There's a lot of decisions which maybe they're a bit... What's the word?
Rash
in making their decisions. I think, you know, when they knew that Mercedes were pitting, what they should have done is maybe stayed out a bit longer, seen how they'd gone. And hindsight's always a great thing, but obviously they knew that there was going to be a safety car that was coming out.
Yeah.
They both pitted. And you heard over the radio, George was livid.
Yeah.
He said, I told you we need to stay out. McLaren, Lando was kind of like, well...
And it makes sense. I feel like, yeah, Mercedes were wrong to do it. McLaren were wrong to do it. There was... I think we saw this from... I don't know, like, if you're listening to commentary, Charles Leclerc had obviously pitted to get new inters.
Mm.
And he wasn't making a dent on Lewis Hamilton, who was on the inters that he started on.
Yeah.
I can't believe they didn't use that data to be like, well... It's probably not really necessary for us to pit because they were never truly under threat. And, you know, they had... Max hadn't pitted.
Yeah.
So all they did was give track position to Max.
Yeah.
And it was kind of inevitable.
Was the safety car out at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was VSC, was it?
VSC. But you knew that car wasn't moving, so you had the opportunity that it may be a full safety car. That's kind of like... Or red flag, how do we do that?
Well, yeah, no, and obviously they came in at a bad time because the VSC was then ending, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we get a red flag. And that's my point. Surely you could have looked at that race and thought, okay, we've had 5 red flags this morning.
Because it was Colapinto, wasn't it?
In qualifying.
Colapinto binned it in the wall, which meant the red flag came out, yeah.
And what is the likelihood that we're going to get a red flag in this race?
Yeah.
When it's raining harder. And that they've got all the radars, they've got satellite images, they can see.
Mm.
And that's the thing, I felt like it was just such an impulse decision of like, oh, we can save X amount of time by pitting now under this. Mm. And then they got the timing wrong anyway, because obviously PSC ended. But
And then what happened is Colapinto... you know, Williams had a shocker this weekend. Albon couldn't even start the race because his car was so badly damaged from qualifying. Colapinto crashed in qualifying and managed to fix his car. He then bins it again. And there's real worry at the moment for Williams that they may not be able to have enough parts to finish the season. So
yeah, I mean, they've got nothing left. They, James Vowles is on his knees. He's going to be starting an OnlyFans soon because they need someone to fund that team. That is, you know, it's really unlucky. And I think Williams by far have the highest damage costs this season. By far, because they've had a lot of big incidents. And you can't just look to Logan Sargeant. Alex Albon has had too many incidents. Colapinto has had incidents. And it does make you think, is there still an issue with this car that makes it... more prone to these.
Yeah.
But they are absolutely down and out financially. I mean, you know, they're already a team that doesn't have endless funds. And I know there's a cost cap and everything, but yeah, it's a really tough weekend to take for them.
I think they'll be looking forward to getting the season done and restarting.
Yeah, because they're on a great path.
Yeah.
They are.
Obviously, with the crash, came out a red flag. The ones that benefited were the Alpines, Ocon, Gasly, Max Verstappen hadn't pitted. And I think this is a difference, isn't it? You've got Red Bull once again showed this weekend why they are the best on the grid with regards to strategy. Like they make the right decisions at the right time. They're not afraid to make tough decisions. And granted, you could have a bit of luck in that.
Alpine strategists would have something to say about that.
From a consistency point of view, Red Bull have done it a lot longer. But no, Alpine had a fantastic weekend this weekend, and their strategy was spot on.
Yep.
And I think from their point of view, keeping them out was there was no risk in it, because what do? You end up finishing out of the top 10. Okay, well, we've done that basically all season.
And can we just have a little word for some of you might disagree here. I feel like Pierre Gasly's weekend went under the radar. I know he got P3 and everyone's celebrating, but he came from P13.
Yeah.
No. Like, he climbed his way up there.
Yeah.
Right? And everyone talks about Max going P17 to P1. Incredible, by the way. Like, what an absolute championship drive that was. Like, I think that sets the standard. That's the standard in Formula One, right? If you want to be a great, that's how you drive. But he's in a much more capable car than Pierre Gasly. Gasly, unbelievable weekend.
Yeah. No, and that's why it was really nice to see both Ocon and Gasly on the podium. Yeah. You know, Alpine have had a really tough year this year. They've had a lot of change. They've had team principals come and go. But there seems to be a bit more stability in that team now. With a new team principal coming in, and they're making smart decisions. We obviously know Ocon will be leaving at the end of the season. They've got Jack Doohan coming in alongside Pierre Gasly. But we've even said previously, Pierre Gasly's had some quite good results. Yeah. The last few race weekends have been quite solid. We know what he can do. We know what he did in that AlphaTauri. We know he's a good driver. He's already a race winner. I'm really confident Alpine will make great progress. And like they kept saying on TV this weekend, that weekend for Alpine was a $50 million race.
Yeah, which is mad. Crazy. That, I mean, what I think they secured, like, was it 33 points or something? It was an incredible.
So they've jumped up from like P9 to P6 in the constructors, which is, you know, for Alpine, this is massive. But from a fan point of view, and this goes back to what we were saying earlier, having these wet races brings this type of outcome, which I guarantee I had more joy coming out of that race weekend knowing that Alpine had done that than maybe what I've seeing a Ferrari, Mercedes, Red Bull on the...
Yeah, you see Lewis.
Yeah, I see Lewis. But from a podium point of view, seeing a different podium like that is great to see.
It is really cool. And it's something that we just don't get enough of. And I feel like particularly now, I do feel like we used to have a bit more diversity in like the teams that we would see. Mm. But I really feel like in this new sort of era of cars, and I'm talking hybrid era, that is very different. And it did also get me thinking about, I know we've spoken about this before, but like refueling.
Mm.
It got me thinking about that again when you have... We were coming to Brazil with the idea that it was a one stop, I believe. And I just think, how boring is a one stop? Knowing exactly when everyone is going to stop and what it's going to do. It just made me think. And I think like, yeah, well, maybe... We used to get a lot more variety up in the podiums or point scorers because strategy was unpredictable.
Yeah.
And seeing Alpine up there just made me think, how nice would it be if we did have different teams up here more frequently?
Mm. No, I agree. Let's just quickly touch on Max Verstappen. Max Verstappen this weekend proved exactly why he is a world champion, and he will go on to be a four-time world champion this year. He was class all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, okay, he had difficulty in qualifying and stuff like that, but he came out And, you know, he hasn't won a race in 10 races. And for someone like Max Verstappen's caliber, that's a long time. But he still came in. He did a championship drive. Yes, okay, there's a bit of luck in there with the red flag and everything. But you need that sometimes. But he was solid all weekend. And it's really bizarre for me actually saying this, because a few years ago, I never liked Max Verstappen. But for some reason, I seem to like him.
That's because you hate Lando.
I don't hate Lando.
But nah, it was Max's class this weekend. And I think, like I said earlier, he sets the standard. That is, he drove like a world champion. There's no other way to put it. Do you know what I mean? It was a flawless drive. He was lightning quick.
And you saw how much it meant to him afterwards. Yeah. I don't think I've seen Max Verstappen smile like that after a race win in ages.
Since 2021, probably.
Since 2021, yeah.
No, so it's great. I've got nothing but praise for Max. And, you know, I know people sometimes give us stick on TikTok and Instagram for being Lewis fans. And, you know, sometimes we shit on Max's attitude. Mm. And we can do what we like. One thing we never shit on is his pace. No. He's an unbelievably quick driver. And I think he really showed why he is currently the best in the world.
And the thing is, you know, he has this attitude, he has this arrogance at times, but he backs it up. And yeah, I respect that. So what does Verstappen have to do to win the 2024 title in Las Vegas?
Just show up.
Yeah, basically. So Verstappen will win in Vegas if he finishes ahead of Norris outright, finishes one place behind Norris, and is still within the top nine drivers. Finishes behind Norris in third or fourth, but claims the fastest lap. Or if Norris only crosses a line in P9, P10, or out of the points, meaning the British star's chances now look slimmer than Verstappen's.
I mean, they have always.
Yeah.
But
the gap needs to be under 80 points.
Yeah, I thought it was 60. So I thought...
60, sorry, and he's already 62 points.
62, yeah.
Sorry.
So, look, right, Max has won the championship. You know, if not in Vegas, he'll win it in Qatar. It'll be won before Abu Dhabi, unless some divine intervention takes place and Max Verstappen is unable to race.
Yeah, and maybe we just say... I know we're talking about Lando Norris and him, you know, going to finish P2 in the driver standards. That's not a certain. So Charles Leclerc
is knocking about.
Charles Leclerc is on 307 points. Norris is on 331.
All it takes is for two stinkers from Norris, and all of a sudden, yeah, Leclerc's there. He's sniffing. But you know, I think realistically, Lando's going to get P2.
Yeah.
And Max is going to win the championship. I feel like the constructors won. What are we saying there? What can Ferrari do? I think Carlos Sainz obviously crashing out didn't help this weekend.
However, you know, so McLaren on 593 points, Ferrari on 557. Personally, I still think McLaren will go on and win the constructors.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you look at Red Bull, they're only on 544. So they're only 13 points behind Ferrari.
I don't think Red Bull will... You can't do that with one driver. Unless Max is going to go on to win the next three races. You know, you can do it when one driver is winning every race. We saw that in 2022.
Yeah.
But Perez was still there or thereabouts. But this season, when they're not winning every single race, impossible.
Yeah,
it is impossible. And I can guarantee that the Ferrari boys, both individually, will pick up more points than Perez.
Yeah.
In the next three races.
100%. So, quick question. Obviously, we've spoken about Brazil, and we know the championship is over anyway. From what you've seen this year from Lando Norris, do you think... he can come back next year and be a world champion?
I think he would have learned a lot from this year. You don't think so?
No, I'm listening.
I think he would have learned a lot from this year, and he's a driver that has been in the sport for a long time now. But he's also a driver that has never had that chance to compete at the front.
Yeah.
So I feel like I wouldn't put my money on him going, winning a championship. But I do think he'll be better placed next season if he's given the tools. I just, yeah, I don't think I'd ever fully back him to win it.
No, I think him and the team will learn to learn a lot.
Yeah.
Come the end of the year when they debrief and go through everything. I think, you know, the likes of Stella has learned a lot. I think, you know, Oscar Piastri has grown immensely this year. You know, he's had a couple of race wins and he's looking more and more of a better driver. So I'm expecting bigger things from him next year. Lando, the only thing that worries me with Lando is actually he continuously makes the same mistakes, discussing things like pole positions. Even in this weekend in Brazil, he went off twice.
Yeah, do you
know
what I mean?
And I know you could say, for example, Singapore, yes, okay, he won the race, but there's a couple of instances where he almost binned it in there.
Yeah, and
I think he will grow from that, and I think he will learn a lot. Do I think he'll come back and be a world champion? Personally, no, but that's not because I don't dislike him. It's just the fact that I just don't think... I think there's better drivers who will go in and win it.
I also think this is the thing. Like, Lando on his day is an extremely quick driver and has gone head-to-head with Max. The problem is that Max turns up every weekend and Lando is still too inconsistent, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I personally don't see that changing in his space. I think he will get better. He will learn a lot and he'll grow and he'll be... But actually, I don't think it'll be enough to take him to that next level to be a world champion.
Yeah. I think that would be a fair assessment. I think anyone would be unwise to bet on Lando winning a world championship. I'm just not saying... I also wouldn't bet against it.
No. Do let us know. Anything else to touch on?
No.
No, I think that is it. And if you're still in at the end of this podcast, fair play. Well done. But yeah, do leave us a rating on Spotify. We really appreciate it. We'll be back next week. We don't have a race now for the next 3 weeks. Next one is Las Vegas. But yeah, have a good week. Let us know. Follow us on all social media and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.